The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Shavua Tov, Howard, I'm well and you?
All right, so Sasha's reporting that the Israeli defense system is a very, very far left system and they are just overly sensitive at the moment.
They are overly sensitive, like the far left and people commenting on the March for Life, which I happen to totally agree with. I have to say it, I have to put it out there.
Right.
But anyway, let's get to the
Rolene, what happened? Because I started getting these alerts. In fact, you were letting me know as well last night. And but it was all over the show. We couldn't figure out really what was going on. And maybe you can just bring us up to date as to what really the situation was.
Well, apparently the situation, as per the IDF spokesperson, is that Hamas were conducting, in inverted commas, military drills, and we call them military drills in inverted commas because we know exactly what their intentions are. And they were firing live rounds. Also, if you're going to be conducting drills, not the smartest thing to do is be firing live rounds.
Right,
anyway, our Iron Dome system is so awake that it actually set off the interceptors, which in turn set off the alarms, and there was a mass concern all over the south of Israel, and it sent many people dashing to their shelters as many thought that we were under rocket attack from Hamas and terror entities in the Gaza Strip. But it was just our incredibly alert and efficient Iron Dome system setting off its interceptors. Having said that, in all seriousness, as we gear up to Israel's 70th birthday, we aren't, and also the move of the American embassy, or the purported move of the embassy, we are expecting a significant uptick in rocket attacks or violence or any attempts by the Palestinians in those areas to make their dissatisfaction known. In fact, on Friday, there is rumored to be a march on the borders of Israel, Friday being Erev Pesach, March the 30th. We are anticipating a lot of Palestinians from Gaza to march, they say, peacefully onto the border, and no doubt our army has to be prepared for any event of possible violence.
Wow. So they're marching in which areas?
In Gaza.
Okay.
In the Gaza Strip.
So it's on the West Bank as well, just the Gaza area.
Not the West Bank. They have said that this is peaceful resistance. They have said that their intention is to put up tents and camp out on the border. Whether or not this will play out like this remains to be seen.
Can I just ask a question? What are the Gazans resisting?
They've got autonomy. Leadership are resisting the existence of Israel.
They've got autonomy. They have their own elections. They've got borders not only with Israel but also with Egypt. So the whole concept that they're a massive prison is just a complete fallacy. They had open borders until Hamas took over and started attacking Israel and depriving the people of Gaza of their basic rights. So what exactly is it that they're protesting against Israel for?
Well, we know that it's the ramp up to the 70th anniversary. It's Nakba Day, and they say that this is peaceful resistance. And, you know what, we do respect anybody's right to resist anything peacefully. We don't anticipate, given that this is instigated by Hamas and their ilk, that the intentions are peaceful in the least. In fact, this is, to many of us, just a facade to try and draw Israel into some kind of conflagration, and B, to maximize any kind of optics that would harm Israel in the media.
Whew, absolutely frightening. Can you bring us up to date? I mentioned a little bit earlier on the show this terrible story of an 85-year-old Holocaust survivor in France, stabbed 11 times. Then her apartment was set alight in 5 different areas in order to obviously disguise the murder. 2 people arrested. Bring us up to speed on what's happening there.
Well, I actually don't even have the words for how full of sorrow and hurt I am for over this incident. It is so profoundly painful to all of us as Jews. You know, we often hear French politicians say an attack on Jews is an attack on France. Well, we are appealing to you now that this situation is untenable and cannot go on. But 85-year-old Holocaust survivor Mireille Canor was, as you just Canor was just, as you said, found stabbed 11 times in her apartment, set her on fire. In fact, her granddaughter Noa Goldfarb, who is an Ola living in Herzliya, said they didn't leave even a photograph, even a letter that could be a memory of her grandmother to the family. What we do know is that French authorities have arrested two men over this attack, and they are saying that it's not necessarily driven by anti-Semitism. However, for many of us, including the CRIF, which is the umbrella body that governs Jewish organizations in France, this modus operandi is very, very eerily similar to that of Sarah Halimi, who was also stabbed by her
neighbor.
By her Muslim neighbor. In fact, Mireille Canol, Zichrona Livracha, her granddaughter, said that one of the suspects, in her estimate, was a Muslim neighbor. So it's the same eerie modus operandi that has been committed, and the Jewish community, first of all, in absolute shock, and the National Bureau for Vigilance Against Anti-Semitism said that this is just too reminiscent of the crime committed against Sarah Halimi, which also caused an outcry because it wasn't ruled an anti-Semitic crime until much later. Just very, very, very painful. We don't know the identity of the two suspects.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to ask you the question, do we know who they are, what anything about them? But we don't at this point.
We don't at this point, but I think that the CRIF, the National Vigilance Authority, as well as Jews around the world, will demand answers, and very, very soon.
Let's just cross the channel once we're in that region and talk about Corbyn a little bit. He's under pressure to apologize for anti-Semitism in the UK Labour Party. What's the latest on that story?
Well, this is a story that's actually making the front pages of the UK news as well, which it's good. Long overdue. As we know, Howard, and we've spoken about it a lot, is that the UK Labour Party has had many incidents of anti-Semitism, some of which coming from a former London mayor, Ken Livingstone, who still to this day believes that Hitler was a Zionist. Also, he was cozying up to Iran just a couple of weeks ago and agreeing with their policy of Holocaust denial. Jeremy Corbyn failed to condemn a mural in London, which is so profoundly offensive. The words actually fail me again. If you go onto the UK Daily Mail.co.uk, there are pictures of this mural, which is every anti-Semitic stereotype and trope which has been trotted out on this wall in London, and he failed to condemn that. And there's been a lot of criticism over the last couple of years against anti-Semitism within the ranks of the British Labour Party. Corbyn himself has been criticised for the strange bedfellows he keeps in Hamas and Hezbollah, also for joining Facebook groups which are dubious, to say the least. And I noticed Sussex Friend of Israel's ever-vigilant Simon Cobbs reported earlier today that it has been found out that Corbyn joined yet another anti-Semitic Facebook group. And he said, Labour is an anti-racist party and I utterly condemn anti-Semitism, which is why, as leader of the Labour Party, I want to be clear that I will not tolerate any form of anti-Semitism that exists in and around our movement. Now, the leaders of the Jewish organisations, the Board of Deputies and some of the other organisations have said, enough is enough. We don't want to hear these messages of condemnation. We want to see real action. You need to create you need to expel the members of the Labour Party who have displayed anti-Semitism or exhibited anti-Semitism, and there needs to be safe place for Jews within the Labour Party. Many Jews, of course, have their political affiliations in the UK with the Labour Party, and there will be a march in Parliament Square tonight. In fact, if we do have any listeners who are London-based and want to show solidarity, get yourselves to Parliament Square in London tonight. There will be marches against anti-Semitism in the UK Labour Party under the guise of enough is enough.
So would that march be for members of the Labour Party, or Jews from across the political spectrum going to be joining and making this a march against anti-Semitism in general?
I think it's anybody who wants to take to march against anti-Semitism, and there's an op-ed in the Jewish Chronicle by Rena Wilson, published like really moments ago. She says, why I will be at Parliament Square tonight. She says, the next time Corbyn defends a Holocaust denier and says, I didn't see anything in any way, my parents were at Cable Street, I can say, I saw it all and I was at Parliament Square.
Unbelievable. The incredible thing about it is he seems very, very resilient, does Corbyn. This has been going on for years. There's been an incredible amount of pressure placed on him because of anti-Semitism within this party, but he still doesn't seem particularly fazed by it.
He doesn't seem to be phased in the least. I don't know if he's living in a parallel universe, or if he's in denial, or if he is so convinced of the path of his party and his supporters, but he doesn't seem to, it's just not registering. So hopefully tonight there will be enough people in Parliament Square to say enough is enough.
Absolutely. Gimple the Fool saying, Howie, please don't call dear leader Corbyn. His name is Gorbachev. All right. That's from Gimple the Fool. And somebody else asking you your view on veganism. I'm sure it's fascinating, Rolene, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
I will say that I did buy a vegan leather handbag today. I will say
that. Otherwise known as Plever.
I personally am not a vegan, but I did buy a vegan.
Some of your best friends are vegan. It's official, Barakat is to run for Knesset. This is an incredible story.
Me, of course, Howard. I mean, you and I.
Yeah, we said it. We spoke about it. Yeah, I don't know what took them so long.
But yes, his announcement last night was that he will not be seeking a third term, but will run for Knesset on the Likud party ticket. And this, of course, has created a lot of excitement. Howard, is he a possible successor to Bibi? Is he strong enough? Is he a strong enough candidate?
Well, he's
for
certainly
that?
The Chuck Norris of Jerusalem, isn't he?
He is the Chuck Norris of Jerusalem, and you know, if anybody doesn't like his what he's doing, he could just round kick them. You know,
absolutely. And of course, that comes from for anybody who doesn't know, that comes from the famous story where he intercepted a terrorist attack himself and got involved. He was happens to have been driving past.
Well, he's smart enough to be married to a South African.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, so there we go. What more do we need to know?
Exactly. And he does, he has done phenomenal things for the city, including a major increase in the startup industry within the city. But now, Howard, the race is on. Who will be the next mayor of Jerusalem? Should we throw our names in the race? You know, or all bets are off.
Wow, very, very interesting. So when does Jerusalem choose a new mayor?
Well, it's too early to say who the contenders are, but there will be municipal elections in October. Uh-huh. And we know that there are quite a few, in fact, the list is quite long, of people who are possible contenders, but we don't know who the main contenders will be yet. But, Howard, will we have our first female mayor of Jerusalem?
Well, that'll be very nice. Jerusalem's obviously a very highly contested and quite a complicated city. You've got very, from a Jewish perspective, from a Jewish resident perspective, you've got this vast range of religiosity, which is always a difficult one. You've got a lot of Israeli Arabs who are part of the constituents of Jerusalem. It's not an uncomplicated city at all.
No, it is a very, very complicated city, and it's a city that exists under an incredible amount of attention all around the world. And I have to say that kol hakavod to Ner Barkat, who has led the city for two terms steadfastly and magnificently through a lot of turbulence and turmoil. But as you've said, it's very, very complicated. I think possibly one of the most complicated cities to lead because of the religious variables and because of all the territorial dispute and the incredible amount of attention from the media, from NGOs, from global leaders, from religious leaders around the world. So whoever is putting themselves in the race, and just for the record, I am not running for mayor of Jerusalem.
You can't run Modi in Andrew. Jerusalem, really.
Well, that is true.
Exactly right. And there you have it. That is the Israel Report. And of course, you've also got to contend with Jerusalem syndrome, which can't be a walk in the park either for any mayor. I mean, city are lunatics.
A mayor of a city with a couple of prophets.
What could be better? Time is 5:56. That was your Israel Report with Rolene Marks, brought to you by the Blue Agency.